Welcome to the River of Calm's Beyond Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today, we have in the studio musician and composer Alan Hewitt. Alan, welcome.
Hi, Ed. Great to be on with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here. My gosh, what a life you have had. And I just want to just jump right into this, okay? So when you were young and little, where did you first start music, Alan?
I'm actually from Northern Michigan. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Mackinac Island, but
absolutely. Beautiful there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a matter of fact, there was a movie done Somewhere in Time that was done there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a lot of my classmates were extras in that. But Cool. Anyway, so I'm from that area, which is pretty rich in all kinds of, you know, we have Native American couple mm-hmm. tribes up there. And mm-hmm. so it's just a great place to grow up. And I happened to be able to play with some of the older guys that were around and mm-hmm. learn from them. And then eventually got in this band with three other fellow vegetarians. And we had a farmhouse and just practice every day. And it was a great, great thing.
Well, now let's back up a little bit. And I want to get back to vegetarian too, but let's back up. You first started your instrument is the piano, I assume, originally?
Actually, I was a drummer.
No way.
Yeah, I actually played drums.
Oh, your poor parents.
Yeah, that's probably why I had to get the farmhouse. But they were very cool about it, too. And mm-hmm. I did play piano along with that, but I actually got good at drums and mm-hmm. ended up going to Berklee College of Music. That was actually for drums and vibes.
No kidding.
And then my minor was keyboards.
Oh, no kidding. Berklee. Yeah. Wow. That's quite a place to go.
It was a good experience for me. Yeah.
Now, were your parents in the arts, or were they supportive of this, or were they, what are you doing, Alan?
not really. My dad was a pharmacist, and my mom, you know, took care of us at home. Mm-hmm. But he was also a really good athlete. So he was an all-state baseball player. All of us kids were athletes too. So
no kidding.
So I played baseball till, you know, I think my senior year in high school, but mm-hmm. music took over from about 14, 15 on. And I really didn't want to do anything other than that, but I did like playing sports. Nice. I was on ski team too, and all that kind of stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And but today you're also a cyclist too.
I am. I think that's kind of, we were talking about this before, that is taken substitute, you know, cycling seemed the same as skiing to me for some reason.
Mm.
So it kind of had the mm-hmm. same adventures.
It's got gliding motion. Totally cool on that. So you're a drummer now. You live with a bunch of vegetarians. Is that what you're saying?
I did. Well, it was funny because we all had really long hair mm-hmm. and we wore caftans. So we would show up at these, at the time there's tons of outdoor concerts. And so we would play these outdoor concerts with guys like Earl Scruggs and, you know, totally opposite of what we were doing. Because mm-hmm. this band, what we did was basically classical, like Tchaikovsky and stuff like that. And we would do it in kind of a rock way.
Uh-huh.
And if you saw the drum set I had, you know, I had this huge drum set with two timpanis, vibes, marimba, two gongs. You know, it was kind of like a Emerson, Lake and Palmer kind of thing.
Wait, I'm still stuck on the caftan. Did you do that? Did you wear a caftan while drumming?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Those of you who don't know, a caftan is, can you tell us what a caftan is?
Yeah, well, it's kind of what Jesus wore, basically. In that day, it's a robe, and they're heavy because they're, I don't know what the material is, but they were hot.
Wow.
Definitely. And it was quite interesting.
No kidding. So you're drumming with the caftan with vegetarians. Then what happens?
Let's see, where did we go? That's where I think I ended up going to Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And studied jazz there, because that was really my passion. And I loved Chick Corea.
I was just going to ask who your influences were.
Yeah, and Herbie Hancock and all those kind of fusion groups at the time. Then I started really getting into composing, and the piano took over, because I just was really enjoying learning everything on that, and being able to express my feelings on that.
Well put, but also it's a percussive instrument too.
It is. Really comes in handy, the drum background, with current music, you know, and things that I have to program drums for or produce and be able to talk to the drummer, because without a good drums and bass, everything gets a little bit sideways.
Totally. I agree. Now let's just dip back to little Alan for just one moment. When you were little, did you say, I'm going to be a musician, or did it just kind of finally arrive on you?
At 12, I knew I wanted to be a musician, but that it probably was for a different reason. It was probably because my friend and I, we remember that song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight?
No, the friend and you wanted to get girls. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes, The Lion Sleeps Tonight by The Tokens. The Tokens did The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
So we did that. We did that I think we did a lip sync thing, and we invited some of the neighbors' babysitters over, charged them 25 cents. And
nice.
This might work. So
yeah.
So from that point, though, what happened is we had he was a doctor's son. We kind of picked instruments. He picked the organ, and another guy picked guitar. So the drums were, that was it. So I picked drums and went home and said, Mom, can I, you know, I need to get a drum set, because we're going to start a band. And she goes, well, you can pay for it. I'll sign a loan for you. And then I'll co-sign a loan, and then you can get it. So we get it, and that's how it started. And then my best friend, a new guy came into town, and he kicked me out of my band.
No kidding.
and that's what started things going in the right direction, because I did nothing but practice from that point on. And I was bound and determined that I was going to be good. And it worked out that some of the older guys said, hey, we want you to play drums with us. And that's where things went off. And we're still great friends. Now, he's a thoracic surgeon. So
no kidding.
Yeah.
That's one of the older guys, or the guy that kicked you out of your band?
My best friend at the time, yeah.
Okay, cool.
And I still don't let him live it down either.
Yeah, no, as you, yeah. And you've got the chops to prove it too, man. No kidding. All right, so you're now, you go to Berkeley, you come out of Berkeley. What happens to you, Alan?
Let's see. I did a lot of moving around. I played in several groups. And got a record deal, a solo record deal, because I was also like a lead singer. Deal on Electrosylum, which at the time I think was owned by David Geffen. And then and then that lasted for a minute. And then on to got another record deal with A&M. These were all development deals. And so I went out to L.A. and I stayed in L.A. and just started building up songwriting. I wrote with several people out there, like Jane Weedlin from the Go-Go's, and then Tubes, guys from the Tubes, and people from Heart. And then, of course, wrote a song for Warrant, which was Cherry Pie.
You wrote Cherry Pie?
Yeah, I co-wrote that. I know. I mean, my career has been all over the place, because I'm able to do a lot of different things. So,
no kidding. Now, one quick thing: when you had your record deals, what is it, under your name?
Yes. Yeah, it was just me.
And were you still wearing the caftan at the time?
No, it all kind of all probably looked like more of a Duran Duran guy at that time.
Oh, you had the hair for it too.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Wow. Okay, so you're in LA working away, you're writing songs, co-writing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then at that point, what happened is I was with a management company called Concerts West, which they had the Moody Blues, they had Earth, Wind, and Fire, they had Warrant, and a lot of other people. So that's where that particular era for me came in. And I started working with Earth, Wind, and Fire and with producing with Maurice White for about a half a decade. And had a studio right at their studio, and we did a lot of things together, and it was great. He was my mentor.
The Promised Land, Maurice White.
Yeah,
wow. He's
such a great guy too.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm such a fan of her EWF. Just wow.
I know you are. They're fun, and they were just real pleasure to be around and stuff too.
What a creative bunch. I mean, innovators of their time, I think. But
oh, for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you work with Maurice, you're in LA. Yet it seems that things are going well, correct?
Yeah, that's when everything really started to, you know, kind of go on the upswing. And from that point, we did lots of things together. We did a lot of Japanese artists because they love Earth, Wind, and Fire. So we worked with the labels over there. And then also we did a thing called Spirit Rising with Beyonce, a song for Donny Osmond and for other artists that came along the way. John Waite, Apollonia, you know, from Prince days.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow.
And Fiona and all these other, you know, people along the way.
Oh my gosh. And so that transitioned into what your job is today.
There was actually another level.
Really?
Then it went to, I went into a smooth jazz career for a while, because I started liking that stuff. It had a kind of, you know, it was the vibe of it, and there was really good musicians. So we did that, did about 3 or 4 records with that as well.
Now, were you on 94.7 The Wave?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to listen to that out in L.A. all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All those stations like that, you know. But I was kind of on the end of that particular. Mm-hmm. From that point, I actually got asked to go play with the Moody Blues.
No kidding. Wow. How was that to get that call? It was like, I got this handled, or oh my gosh.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. Cause at the time I got asked to audition and actually didn't end up auditioning, but then they were so kind to have me play with them. And I've been doing it ever since. I think that started around 2010.
Wow. What a cool gig then.
Oh, it's been great. And we've been around the world a couple times, and then of course they were they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2019. Right. That was a great fun thing, and just to ride along with their experience has been really fun.
Oh, very cool on that. But then you also have this side that's come out from you from your smooth jazz days, which is your music that you have out now. You know, that we're featuring on the River of Calm too. So tell us how you got there.
Yeah. The new age stuff is actually parallel since the beginning, I think, cause I've had quite a few different, new age, CDs out as well. So I just, you know, what happens is I get tired with just one kind of music and, I like to do different things. And so I'll get in a kind of a channel for one kind of music, and I'll do a whole album of that kind of stuff. And then the next week or so I'll channel something else. So it's this really interesting thing. I'm not sure how it happens, but it happens.
So your attention deficit that we're talking about.
I suppose I would, if I didn't have music, it probably really does keep me focused. That there meditation. You go.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of meditation, that's the name of your CD that we have. And there's some, it's a beautiful compilation there of your inner Zen, it feels like, you know?
Well, thanks, Ed.
When did you record that or meditation?
I recorded that last year and I was hesitant to put it out.
Because?
I basically didn't think that anyone would like it, but then I gave it to some of my neighbors and just would, you know, my wife would use it to calm down and things like that. And mm-hmm. I decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead while we're in this COVID thing to put this out and hopefully, people will enjoy it.
There are listeners out here for it. I'm telling you, there's something about this calming vibe that is needed, especially in today's world that we're living in. And meditation is just a beautiful project. Now, out of the 12 tracks of meditation, how can you possibly pick your favorite out of all of those 12?
Well, it's pretty hard, but mm-hmm. I think we kind of came to Zazen. I like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the transformation and tranquility. Those are nice too. They all have a vibe for, you know, chilling out. So they all do that purpose. Yeah.
Well, with that, we do have Zazen here. So let's take a listen to, from the meditation album, Zazen by Alan Hewitt. Thank you. Wow, there we are. That was Zazen by Alan Hewitt on the Meditation CD. Beautiful piece, Alan. Wow.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, I'm Zen now.
Amen. Now, where can we find your music?
It's on Spotify and Amazon and all those normal things. But if they want to, have them go to, you guys can go to alanhewitt.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to that music, you know, the samples of it there.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And then we'll get also a taste of your other music too.
Yeah.
Cool.
If they're interested.
If you've written Cherry Pie, we got to hear it. We got to hear about you.
I don't think anybody would be interested in that.
Okay. So once we visit your website, we're going to have that listed with the podcast that people will find it. But
great.
With all this, from you being a drummer back way when, and, you know, the Mackinac Island music scene where you're in a caftan and all the way up to today with the Meditation CD, with all that, what is it possible you can pick something that you're the most proud of, one moment that you're the most proud of?
There's several. That's a tough one, Ed.
Mm-hmm. I know. We ask the tough questions here.
There are some movie things that I really enjoyed doing, and one called Fall from Freedom, which was a one of the documentaries I did about captivity with whales and dolphins.
Wow, no kidding.
So that's one of the, you know, my ones that I really liked. And then I have an album called Evolution, which is a more of a fusion album, not really good for River of Calm, but
it's a fabric of your life because of your, you know, like of Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, and you know,
that was kind of a dream to do that, and I ended up, a lot of the players were from Chick Corea and from a Return, you know, Return Forever, and some of the other bands that that I had kind of looked up to as a kid. So
no kidding.
So manifestation is an interesting thing.
Isn't it though? Yeah. It truly is. Now, what's one thing? Now you're known as the rock guy, you know, all the things we described, you know, the Cherry Pie guy, the, you know, all the, your time with, you know, Maurice White and, you know, the Moody Blues and all this, but what is one thing that most people really don't know about you, Alan?
Well, they probably a lot of them don't realize that about the animal activist stuff and those kind of things that really drive me.
Oh, no kidding.
And things like that. Because that's really kind of one of the things I'm really interested in. If before I die, I'd like to see, you know, a better situation for animals. And
specifically, is there an organization that you like? Or
I'm in several. I'm on the board of Blue Ecology, which is more for the oceans. Uh-huh. And I'm on the board of Animal Fund, which is we do all kinds of documentaries for different animal groups, such as farm animals and mostly cetaceans like dolphins and things. Cause I was on the whale rescue team in Los Angeles where we rescued mostly seals and pelicans, but occasionally there would be a baby whale or something like that. It's awesome.
Oh, those seals and pelican hanger honors.
You live there, you know? Yeah. This newest group that I did something was called Fetch Fido, a Flight. And that what they do is they're out of Oklahoma and they there's a lot of abuse there with animals. So they take the animals from the shelters, and then we fly them up to Oregon where the shelters are waiting for them there because they have plenty of homes to go to. And
very cool.
The last trip we did, they do one every month, but I did one for them in December where I went flew to Oklahoma, and then I got on this plane, and it was a cargo plane, you know, like, but kind of a puddle jumper type. And we had 104 dogs on that. And it was a 10-hour flight because the plane only goes 200 miles an hour.
Right.
So it was in the storm, and I was sitting in that jump seat. Well, I guess I'm not coming back from this one, probably.
Oh, and were you sick as a dog or sick with the dogs?
I was very sick for 4 hours, and then I finally figured it out.
No kidding.
Yeah, but it was worth it. It was worth it, and I'd do it again. And once we got up there, then we took all the animals out and bathed them. And gave them food, and they were so happy. It was totally worth it. And all of those 104 animals got homes within 2 weeks.
That's totally cool on that.
Yeah.
So now with that, you mentioned, we'll have these put in a link on your podcast page.
That'd be great.
Very cool. I had no idea you were an animal activist, and we will post all of these links on the podcast page so that your listeners have a chance to experience this with you.
Good.
Cool. All right. So you've led, Alan, a pretty charmed life, if I must say so. You know?
Yeah.
Musically, you've had an amazing life. But if you had one musical wish, you know, you had a magic wand that we could give you for one musical wish, what would that wish be?
I guess just to be better. I always want to be better. I mean, that's just... something, okay. You know, improve, learn.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That means you're always moving forward then.
I think so. Yeah. I don't feel that I've gotten to the point that I want to get to. I mean, I'm still kind of climbing, it feels like, but I'm happy with my place, but
right. But I'm there's not, still more to be done.
There you go. That's a better way to put it.
Okay. I get that. All right. And so last question on this. You know, we buy the River of Calm through generous donations, which we are hoping to aspire to. If we are able to buy all the billboards in the United States, and especially Mackinac Island, okay, for you to send a message across the country, what would you say that would fit on that billboard?
For the River of Calm?
No, for you.
Ed, you tough questions, man.
I'm trying my best, buddy.
Let's go for peace and love.
I don't think, Alan, I could have said that any better at all. Wow. Man, thank you so much. And there you have it, a behind-the-scenes look at musician and composer and caftan wearer, Alan Hewitt. On the River of Calm's Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And may the calm be with you.